My guest on the program is Terry Moorman. He is an incumbent for the 4th Ward in the Boone City Council. First, thanks for taking time to visit with us, Terry. Oh,
thanks for having me, Jim. I appreciate the opportunity.
Terry, first was appointed to fill a vacancy, had to do the special election.
Right.
And then came back and won an election. No, this would be your second, you're seeking your second full-year term, or four-year term?
So. Yeah, that's correct, yep.
All right. So, looking back at your time there on the council, and you've done a couple of different things. Right now, chairing what, economic development, and part of the what
utility
committee too.
Right.
So, what are some, when you look back and say, what are some highlights you feel good about doing as a council member?
I guess the green space would be the number one thing. A lot of people enjoy that now, and I'm glad that I took that project on. I'm glad the mayor gave me the opportunity to do it right out of the gate. We completed that in about 14 months, which is pretty quick when it comes to city building.
For city
stuff.
Proper pretty projects, yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
It's pretty quick. So, yeah, so I'm happy with that. I'm happy with the demolition of the old Fairway building, that we got that done. There were some issues there, but I think we took care of that pretty effectively and efficiently. Mm-hmm. And I did that to raise $10,000 out of the contents inside there, did that auction.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those two things kind of stand out, mm-hmm. I think. Chairing the Economic Development Committee
I was going to say, that's got to be one of the really interesting ones now.
Yeah, I really enjoy it a lot. It gives me the opportunity to talk to business people. It gives me the opportunity to go out there and participate in grants and expansion projects and stuff like that. It's exciting. So I really enjoy that.
So let's talk a little bit about that economic development. That's been a very busy committee, and it's pretty wide ranging. You have quite a variety of things you can do. Now, a lot of people will say, well, you're not doing anything for economic development. They don't see it until at the end. That's the problem. You spend a lot of time on things, but people don't get to see it until the end.
Right, and you understand economic development. When a developer comes to us and wants to build here or do something here, they typically don't want that made public. And for the simple reason that they want to acquire land and right-of-ways and stuff like that. So they don't want us to make that public until they get that done. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes that the general public doesn't know. And it's unfortunate that we can't do that. I would love to. City administrator kind of reins me in every once in a while when I get off on that tangent and give us some of that information out. But I understand it now, so mm-hmm. I'm pretty careful about what I say and do.
A lot of some of the things that you really have been very busy on the Economic Development Committee is something we started a while ago. Actually, I can remember many, many years ago when we put together a program to make assistance available to downtown businesses to do things for their buildings, their structure. The BDIF program is really what we're calling it now. It covers more than just downtown. It covers any business part of the community, really. And that's been very successful.
That has really picked up in the last year. We have, right now, we still have three outstanding BDIF projects that are ongoing. They're about to wrap up. We have a couple of bigger projects, the Catalyst grants that Ames EDC got for us at the old Boone News Republican building. That's well underway. The new restaurant at the new Virginia Theater building right across from City Hall is another emergency Catalyst grant that Ames EDC got for them to put a new roof on. We're excited about that. That's probably going to open up late next year. I think they do a really nice job. So we're excited about that. A couple other projects going on, and I encourage all the downtown businesses to apply for a BDIF grant. Come to us, and if they want to do some exterior facade work, we'll gladly help them out.
And for listeners that don't understand, the BDIF, Downtown Incentive Fund, really, it's a reimbursement. The business owners, the building owners, they have to be committed to spending the money, and you can reimburse a percentage.
That's correct. Up to 40%, up to $30,000. And we've had a couple of people that took advantage of the $30,000, too.
That's a sizable investment.
Right. So. And so that means that they've invested quite a bit of money as well. So mm-hmm. that's a good thing.
And we've seen that in the past, too. That continues to be a project or a program that the city can do rather well and
right.
easily.
And that's another popular program that we did this year that I'm kind of proud of through ED was the Iowa Housing Authority grant. Mm. Program with the $86,000. Again, Ames EDC was heavily involved in that, acquiring that grant for us, and we helped out 11 people in the community make improvements in their home. Yeah. So,
pretty substantial investment there,
right?
And have a part of the requirement, as I recall, was local contractors.
Right, local contractors, and they had to have skin in the game as well.
Yeah, so, let's. I want to go back because I know some people are pretty pleased with the process of working with Ames EDC. Some people are opposed to it, right. Don't like it. They think that we're being taken over. When it first started, and I know you weren't chair of the Economic Development Committee at the time, mm-hmm. but the city was looking for someone to do that kind of work. You couldn't find anybody. Not right. not for the kind of money you're paying them,
right.
which is only a little over $100,000.
Yeah, a full-time city employee is well over $100,000 a year. And to find a specialized person to do economic development, that's a whole nother story. We looked. We couldn't find anybody that was qualified that would give us the most bang for the buck. And then this opportunity came up with Ames EDC. And I know with some, it's not popular. I know my opponent doesn't necessarily like Ames EDC. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, since they've been here, I can give you a whole litany of things that they've done, including bringing Kading to the table, helping mm-hmm. with the tax abatement grants at 22nd and Lynn. They've helped with a $3 million a grant for Ag Certain. Mm-hmm. They did the $200,000 catalyst grants that we talked about, the $86,000 for the Iowa Housing Authority grants that we did. They brought People's Bank here. They brought the restaurant here. Like I said, they brought Kading here. Kading, that project's going to be somewhere between $15 and $19 million yeah. of economic development. Yeah. So all told, if you add that all up, we paid them about $250,000 in the last 2.5 years to purchase their services, partner with them, and they've produced about $25 million worth of ED. Now, that's 100 times our investment. That's a pretty good ROI. Some people say that they throw us the scraps. Mm. Well, $25 million, just keep those scraps coming. We'll take all of them that we can get. So
well, and we're not the only ones. I mean, Boone happens to be one of. I'm thinking somewhere around 16, 17 cities that have working arrangements with Boone County Economic Growth.
Yep.
Also has a working arrangement with.
Yeah, Ogden, Nevada, Story yep. City, Roland. That's just a few. Gilbert.
Yeah.
That's a few that have these agreements. That would mean that all of those elected officials are wrong, and I don't think that's the case. Ames does a great job. We have access to 14 full-time employees over there. Each have a certain set of expertise that they bring to the table, and we tap into those. Brenda Dreyer is our go-to, and she just does a fantastic job, not to mention that the influence that they have at state and federal level. That's important. And so it goes a long way towards ED.
On the economic development side, got to ask, because I know Fairway's decision to relocate the corporate office, disappointing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very disappointing. But again, some of the things they're looking at doing probably still going to be pretty beneficial, at least for our community.
Yeah. Several members of the board put up a valiant fight to keep them here. But the fact of the matter is, the purchasing and that management side of it mm-hmm. is going to remain here. They're going to relocate it to the building downtown. Two of the people that were in the corporate office, it's my understanding that they're going to remain here mm-hmm. and work virtually.
Sure.
The only thing that we lost was the bragging rights to being home of the corporate headquarters. We're still the purchasing and warehouse facility headquarters for Fairway Corporation. They are planning a $25 million expansion project out there that will take the office facility that's there and turn it into warehouse space. So they're not going anywhere anytime soon. Their investment and their dedication to Boone still remains.
So that centralized location to get to the East Coast, West Coast, North and South.
Right. Here we are.
And so they're all over.
And they're expanding too. So
let's talk about another thing that's going on, and it's economic development related. I know from the city standpoint, you're watching the Main Street effort that's underway. Right. You guys have done a number of things supportive of it. Now, it is a public-private partnership. To be successful, that's what we've seen. That's what they look for at the state level. We have a group that's working on it. Obviously, they went after the trees right away. That was the low-hanging fruit, I call it, to start to improve their resume and stuff. Are you hoping they're successful, and can we sustain this?
Oh, absolutely. It would be great for downtown Boone. The problem with anything economic development related is that gathering data as to the impact that makes is really hard. It's ambiguous. It depends on what perspective you're looking at. Main Street is a great opportunity for us to revitalize some of these older buildings. I don't think you're ever going to see the Ben Franklins and the JCPenney's and the Spurgeon's and those types of businesses down there. What you will see is some of the specialty shops and maybe a couple of sports bars and maybe an ice cream parlor or something like that downtown. It'll be a destination point that can all tie in together with the movie theater and the green space and stuff like that. I hope they're successful. We're going to support them. I went down and helped plant trees. I know people didn't think I was in support of that, but I absolutely am. I think it's a great program. Debbie Durham is all about it from the Iowa Economic Development in the state of Iowa. So I think it's a good program.
On the tree side, because you've done this kind of thing now for a little while, but you look at, yes, we can go and get some trees planted. What is our long-range plan here? Where are we going? This is a start. How are we going to maintain these trees? How are we going to do?
Right.
And the sidewalk repairs. You came up with a plan for that. That's going to require some council thought.
Yeah, we'll tackle that at budgeting in December to get that done. But I thought it was important because the people that are downtown in the businesses now are two or three businesses removed from when those trees were planted. So I think the city holds some sort sense of responsibility for repairing those sidewalks that were damaged by the trees, not the businesses. With that said, we are partnering with them to do a bigger percentage of repairing the sidewalks if it's city related. Mm-hmm. And that'll be up to staff to determine if that's where it is.
Well, since you're on the utility committee, out of sight, out of mind, not necessarily for people on the utility committee. That's a constant thing. We've had, after the huge Honey Creek improvement issue, those are some of the challenges that you guys face going forward. And it's everybody will say, well, we need the streets repaired. We need this repaired. There's a lot of cost to maintaining this system.
Yeah, there is. And finding that common ground to get as much done as we possibly can with the budget that we have is kind of a delicate balance that we have to take. Sewer and water, we're in another phase of lining sewers right now as we speak, which helps with the deterioration of the older sewers, the older infrastructure. Buys us another 50, 60 years, actually, by lining it. That new technology is spectacular. I actually got an opportunity to watch it happen and how they do it. But it just extends the lifetime of our infrastructure by a huge amount of time. So that helps. The I&I program that we're doing, removing the clear water from the sanitary system has been really successful. We reduced the water going into the sewage treatment plant by about 30%. That's a huge amount. We're not processing clear water now. It's easier on our equipment. It's less expensive, and it has alleviated a lot of the sewer backup problems in the city.
All right, so you started in the fourth ward.
That happened
to be that way.
That was before my time too. program was set in place the year before I got on council. But yeah, it was fourth ward, and we're working. And we've been making some adjustments. Yeah. People come to us and say, "Hey, I got sewer problems," and so you were maybe two or three phases down the road, and we've made switches to alleviate that. Which it's nice that program has that flexibility.
The downside has been, yes, people, well, I've always been able to put it in the sanitary sewer system, but really the big issue is that is an added expense,
right,
that people have to pay for. They keep saying the city pays for it. Well, it's really the people pay.
People pay for it. Exactly right. And we've had some pushback, some upset people, but if your neighbor's getting sewage backed up in his basement, we have to think about that as well. So,
all right. Wellness center, it's because we got to ask it. Sure. Everybody wants to know. What I want to know is because the group, the task force kind of working on it now seems to have taken a little different approach. They're talking more like getting back to, and I recall the rec program 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. When the city had a rec director and was helping to facilitate a number of different things. And then the hospital gave the building back to the Y of Greater Des Moines, and then they wanted to take everything over, so that happened.
Right.
Right now, there seems to be a move. We need to get our rec program back and going.
Yeah, the focus will be on the kids, naturally. I think the original focus, and maybe one of the reasons why it didn't go over so well the first time, was naturally the franchise fee.
Mm-hmm.
And you can call it whatever you want to. It's a tax.
Yeah.
Right? The franchise fee wasn't very popular. I don't know as if the center itself was as popular. It was popular with the older population. And you know, that 45 to 75 demographic was pretty popular. But the younger generation didn't, because the kids, you know, and we didn't get that far.
Yeah.
We didn't get that far. We didn't get to the point where we had a rec director and they were organizing flag football and youth sports and that type of thing. We never got to that point. And it met with pretty severe opposition. Mm-hmm. It was defeated pretty soundly. After that, they wanted to take a new and a fresh approach to that, so I stepped away from that, and a citizens group took that over and are working on that. We just passed that feasibility study to the tune of $69,000. I had my apprehension about that. I'm anxiously anticipating what that data will show, because I want to know how close it parallels the data that I put together, mm-hmm, and my committee put together, and see, you know, what the differences are.
Sure.
So that'll be interesting. And then there's another phase to this as well. But
you're always going to have someone out there that's either going to be opposed to it or wants one.
Right. And you're kind of torn between, and I'll listen to both sides, and especially this go round, because it's a little different, mm-hmm, and I want to see what the data shows before I make that final determination.
As you look at what's coming up for the city, what do you see some of the big issues to be?
Probably
the tax, whatever the property tax things happen.
And we've kind of pulled back a little bit, because the changes down at the State House, we don't know how that's going to impact us. We anticipate it'll impact our budget by $140,000, which doesn't sound like a whole lot in, you know, our total $22 million budget, mm-hmm, but that's a lot of money, mm-hmm, and that money has to come from somewhere. So that's why we negotiated some contracts, and they're short term, so we could see what's going to happen in the next, mm-hmm, in the next year. We should know by the middle of next year where we stand on that stuff, when that stuff becomes a little more clear, I hope. So there's that issue. We have some road issues that we're doing. You know, we're paving Marion and Park right now. Matter of fact, Marion should be done, should be concreted in by now. So that addition, the Kading addition, I'm excited about that. That's 128 units. If the studies are right, that should increase the population of Boone by about 125 people. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah. Bill is at Box Point. They're already looking for people to sign up. So.
Yeah. Well, and I heard there's on the senior side, they already have people signed up for it. So.
Again, there's just a number of different things. All the council can do is keep working towards trying to provide and keep try to keep things going forward.
And the housing study put us in the right direction. Yep. It was kind of, I don't know, it was kind of surprising, to everybody to find out that Boone's population has remained stable over the last 100 years. Mm-hmm. We've somewhere between 12.4 and 12.8.
Yeah.
In the past 100 years. And that and the average age of a house in this town is 1922. So that tells you, it correlates with the tax structure too. If we have 1922 housing, you know, the tax base for those houses aren't very high. So, you know, the assessed value and stuff. So it kind of lends itself to that.
You still get an opportunity to visit with the constituents in the 4th Ward because they're the ones that'll be voting for you.
I do. I do. I talk to my neighbors and stuff like that. Everybody's busy. I'm retired, so I can do it. You know, do it most any time. But it's hard to catch them. But I try to respond and most of my constituents know if they text me or message me, and my phone number and my email address is out there. If they email me, I will respond as soon as I see it. Mm-hmm. And I try to give them all the facts that I know, and if I don't know, I'll find out. Mm-hmm. They're just a phone call away, those facts. So,
willing to visit with them and give them the answers. Yeah. They might not always like your answers.
But no, I have a.
There's times on the council meetings when you don't get. I mean,
well, that's what it's all about. It's about sharing ideas, and there's going to be differences of opinions. I hold no ill feelings at all if something I propose gets voted down. It's, you know, everybody has their own opinion about what's going on. But for the most part, you know, you attend most of the meetings. 99% of the time, it's a unanimous vote. There, you know, once in a while, we'll have a
difference
heated,
of opinion.
Yeah, a little heated discussion, and they have to listen to their constituents, too.
Absolutely. Terry Mormon, incumbent candidate in the 4th Ward for the City of Boone. The election's coming up. Of course, people will be able to vote early, but it's going to be in November.
November 7th.
7th. And I know if people have questions, they can get a hold of you.
Absolutely. My phone number, like I said, and email address is on the city website. Absolutely. Reach out to me. You can PM me. You can private message me or whatever you want to do. I will answer it. I don't like to engage too much on Facebook because that's a non-witting situation as far as I'm concerned. But I will gladly answer a private message or a phone call.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Jim.